Claudius also had an edict, and he had put into law that young people were not to get married. And his thinking behind that was the land that they were a part of was at war. They were at battle. So his feeling was that if these young men got married and then went off to war, then they would be thinking about their wives and their children, their family, if something would happen. And so it would be a distraction from them being able to be the best soldiers they could be. And not only that, there was not so much a sense of sexual purity at this time either. In fact, polygamy was even promoted in this area at this time, but not by the church. The church still held to the idea of a relationship being between one man and one woman and to live in matrimony in that way. So young people actually found out, and they would come to St. Valentine, and St. Valentine, who wasn't a saint then, he was a priest, would marry them in secret. Well, eventually he was found out, and he was put to death because of doing this, because of his obedience to what he felt God had called him to do. And as the story would have it, supposedly one of the last things he did was penned a letter to a woman that he knew, and he closed it, "From your Valentine." And so today, we celebrate Valentine's Day, and we honor him, and a lot of times we don't even think about really what this is about. We don't know the story, but I think today, as we think about Valentine's Day, if I was going to give a different title to my sermon than the one you see in the bulletin, I think I would entitle it "True Love." Because I think Valentine understood what true love really was. And in the scripture that we had today, I think that we have an understanding of what that's all about. And yes, Valentine's Day, I think, is supposed to be romantic. It's supposed to be about sweethearts. I think it's appropriate to have candy and flowers and all of that. So guys, I'm not letting you off the hook. But in order for those to have the meaning God would desire, because I think God wants us to be able to genuinely share that type of love with each other, but in order for that to have the meaning God desires, there's got to be more. And Valentine understood what that was. And we know because of the way he lived his life. So, I want to suggest today that we have a choice. And our choice is either to walk with God or to walk away from God. And it says, the reason that this is a scripture that we're talking about, two Sundays ago we talked about Micah 6:8. We talked about the fact that we are required to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Well, last week we talked specifically about what it meant to act justly. I'm kind of skipping around, and this Sunday we're talking about what it means to walk humbly with our God. So when we're looking at that, when looking at the scripture that Aaron just read, we understand, we get to see more about what walking with God really means. And first, it says that we are to love God. You're to love the Lord your God. So what does it mean to love the Lord your God? I think there's a scripture many of us may be familiar with that comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 and following, that talks about loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. So I'm not going to preach a whole sermon on that, but I just want to give you that as kind of a place marker of what it means to love God and what Scripture says about what it means to love God. So in a nutshell, if you're to love God with your heart, I think that means God's to guide your passions. God's to be at the center of that. Who or what has your heart? Think about that for a moment. And all of us, if we think there's something that's there, and it may be a person, it may even be a thing. I don't know. But what is it that has your heart? What is it that you get passionate about? And then the next question is God at the center of that? Is God a part of that? Do you love God with your heart? And then the next one is your soul. To love God with all your soul. The soul, human beings are the only part of God's creation that has souls. And so because of that, we're able to make decisions. We're able to have a foundation for living. And I describe that as who you are and why you do what you do. So think about that for a minute. Who are you at the core? Who are you? And why do you do what you do? I think those are soul questions. And is God a part of that? So God, you love God with all your heart, your passion. You love God with all your soul, the essence of who you are and what makes you who you are. And then your strength. And when I think of strength, I think about our physical body. How did you use your body? How did you use your strength? What do you do for God? Do you remember that your body is the temple of God and treat it that way and treat it appropriately? Sometimes we're tempted to say, well, it's my body and what I do to my body isn't hurting anyone else. That's not scriptural. So, are you loving God with all your strength? And then the last one, are you loving God with your mind? What you think? And how you act upon those thoughts. Is God a part of that? That's what it means, I believe, in a nutshell, to love God. And so to walk with God, Scripture says here, you have to love the Lord your God. Then the next thing it says in Scripture, and I'm going by verse 16, it said, for I command you today to love the Lord your God. The next phrase says, to walk in obedience to Him. So I want to talk about obedience. Obedience just isn't a fun word. When I say the word obedience, does it give you warm fuzzies? Does it make you feel good? Obedience is people in the world today, when we think of obedience, we usually think about following rules. I don't think that's the way God desires us to look at it at all. I don't believe being a Christian should be about following a list of rules. I think it should be about embracing God's will and realizing the opportunities God places before us. And if we have that love relationship with God that was first mentioned, and then we follow in doing God's will, we don't have to worry about all the rules. We just live and go in the direction God leads us, and we don't have to worry about what we're not supposed to do because we aren't going to be going in that direction anyway. So the first is to love God. The second is obedience. But obedience is just following God's will. And then it says in the Scripture, then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. God promises us. There's promises all throughout Scripture that God gives us. But God's promising specifically right here that we will be blessed. You and those you love will be more blessed. So I think there's value in really seeking to walk with God and understanding what that means. But that Scripture continues, because I think God knows that some of us may read this, but we're not really going to take it seriously. So the Scripture continues and it talks about what it means to do the opposite of walking with God. And I think that's to walk away from God. You see, if you're not walking with God, you really are walking away from God. I don't believe you can really just stand still. You're either walking with God and seeking to live the life God desires, or if you're not doing that, you're walking away from God. Maybe you don't realize it. Maybe you don't think you're intentionally doing it. But you can't just stay in one place and that be what God's okay with. So, disobedience. What is disobedience? Because it says in the Scripture that we're not to disobey, and disobedience leads to other things. Disobedience is sin. Sin, and this is something that I talk about with children in chapel during the week. Sin is anything that displeases God. There can be things God wants you to do and you don't do them, and that's sin. There can be things God doesn't want you to do that you become a part of, and that's sin. That's disobedience. You don't have to go and look at a long list. It's just basically anything that displeases God. And you know, we have a pretty good idea of what pleases God and what doesn't. And if you aren't certain about it, if you simply reach out to God and mean it in praying and asking, God will reveal that to you. So walking away from God in disobedience and sin is one of the problems of what's going to happen if we don't walk with God. Next, if we're being disobedient, this happens in ways of going towards other gods. Satan uses these other gods to take us down roads that are a dead end. And I had a conversation with someone about Satan this past week and about what that looks like and about what Satan does. And we talk about it, but do you really understand that, first of all, Satan's real. But Satan rarely comes in this scary form or makes things seem really bad or make you feel like a bad person about things. Satan is mischievous and conniving and full of trickery. And so a lot of times the things that Satan does takes the form of things that feel good or are easy to rationalize or make sense in the world that we live in. And I think these can be summarized in three ways. One is material possessions. I think Satan can get us so distracted by money or resources or things around us that that becomes so important that that becomes our God, and that's what guides the decisions that we make. And so you see how that can lead us to a dead end. Or maybe it's power and prestige. We want to be successful. And so we'll do whatever it takes sometimes to get there, whether it's popularity at school, whether it's being able to get ahead in our job, whether it's being able to be an athlete that's recognized by our coach or other coaches or colleges. And then the last one I wanted to suggest is that it can be the temptation of seeking approval from others. Scripture says, and this is one I've struggled with all my life, I'm a people pleaser. I like for people to be happy with me. But everybody's not always going to be content with me. And if I go down the road of trying to make everybody happy, that's not going to be pleasing to God. Jesus Christ himself couldn't please everybody. So why in the world Greg McCormick thinks he can do it sometimes is beyond me. I can't, and you can't either. But sometimes we go down that road. And it leads to destruction. Examples of how these things lead to destruction. If it's material possessions, it leads to the destruction. Because before long, you realize there's never enough. And eventually, all this stuff that we have loses meaning. Or if you look at the god of power and prestige, people begin to think that they're not really appreciated for who they are. How many people, popular, well-to-do, people, athletes, beauty queens, homecoming queens, do you know that at some point it looked like to everybody they had it, but their life in their eyes was a farce. And they were completely unhappy. It doesn't give us what we think we need sometimes. And then the last one, approval of others. I already said it. You cannot please everyone else. And when you start trying to please everyone else, you know what you do? You're compromising who you are. And then you begin to question who you really are anyway. All these are not the paths God desires for us to go down. So, walking away from God involves disobedience. It's walking towards other gods. And it leads to destruction. But 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, says that God doesn't desire that anyone should perish. You understand that? God doesn't want anyone to die. Now, this is truth. And if we walk away from God, that's our choice. But God doesn't want it to happen, so he's making it obvious. And this isn't the only scripture in the Bible that talks about this. But he's helping us to see how not to go down the road of destruction. And I want us to understand today that love really is a beautiful thing. That's where I want us to leave this. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up. But as we really try to embrace love, and I tell you, if we understand this, and we follow through in this, and it's going to add to this whole idea of what the world understands as Valentine love, as romantic love, as couples, as friends, becoming better friends, whatever that may be for you, that's good. But when God's a part of it, it becomes genuine in a way that others want a part of it, because this beautiful love starts off with a relationship with God. And if you haven't started there, you have an opportunity to do that today. And as you do that, then it enables us to recognize the journey God wants us to go. It provides clarity of who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to live. And it's pretty awesome when you've lived that way and you get to the end of your life and you can say you have no regrets for the way that you lived. That's how beautiful love can be in that relationship with God and others. And then we begin to be able to see others through God's eyes. And when we can see others through God's eyes and love them in that way, that's when the love that we have for each other goes to a whole different level. And the last thing about love, you know, you can say, Greg, that sounds really great, but I've messed up. And I know myself, and I'm going to mess up again. But you know, real love, true love, has this characteristic that's a part of it called forgiveness. And forgiveness is a beautiful thing. God forgives us. And God forgives us again and again as long as we come with a genuine heart. And when we recognize that, we're then able to forgive others, and we're able to ask others for forgiveness that allows that love, that beautiful, true love relationship to continue to grow. So I invite you today, if you know that love relationship, you're blessed, because I think the majority of the people in this world don't really understand love the way God intends it to be understood. And God's offering it to us today. And you may not be able to embrace all of what God's talked about today in one fell swoop, but you take one step in that direction and then another step. You'll be amazed at how much just taking one step at a time can change your relationship with God, your relationship with each other. I wish you a happy Valentine's Day this week. But I pray that we'll all live into it in a way that we understand and represent what true love, like Saint Valentine understood it to be. Let's stand together and sing. Take my life and let it be.
It's number 277 in your hymnal.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful.